You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
So maybe the Granny Smith apple's a little bit too tart for you. Oh, yes. The Gala's maybe a little too sugary. Never enough, I'll tell you. But it's apple season, and boy, wait till you see what's coming down the pike. This is really going to be making a lot of headlines. Believe it or not, there's a new apple coming. Now, fruit farmers all around our area may know about this. Absolutely. It's not going to be released, I think, until December, but it is just the right mix of tangy and sweet. All right? The farmers are going to ship them on December the 1st. If they're holding them right now, I'm going to come get one. This is grown, by the way, in Washington State. Of course, they're all, you know, jumping up and down about that. Cosmic Crisp is the name of this apple, bred by Washington State University's tree fruit breeding program. The Cosmic Crisp is a cross between Enterprise and Honey Crisp apples, once it gets part of the name. They look like a red delicious, and hence the cosmic, because it looks like little stars in the red of the apple. When you look at it good, you see stars, okay? And of course, it's related to the Honey Crisp. But they say, and this is, it's got everything. It's got the right size. It's got the right number of calories. It tastes just right. Once you cut it, it browns slower. Oh, man. They've been working on this thing for 20 years. It's pretty incredible. It's just amazing. The apples is really a big deal in this country. I don't know if any other country gets so excited about new apples, but, can't wait. So I'm going to head out to my favorite apple place on December the 1st. Well, if they ship on December the 1st, we'll see. We'll see if they hit the stores, but, you'll probably see more about this. They have a really cool, at least online, little ad for them. The Cosmic Crisp. I like the name of it. There's no doubt about that, right? So the new apple coming.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The Sound of Life.
Well, playing catch has always been a thing, but you probably haven't done it since you were a kid, right? It's kind of things that kids do, or unless you're at the ball game and Aaron Judge wants to play catch with you, you know, okay, glad I brought my glove. Well, once every day, there's a man named Jason Stillwell that finds someone to play catch with. He'll do that every day, and it turns out to be a lot of fun, you know. It's like catching up, whether it's an old friend. Sometimes it's just a random stranger. But a lot of the time, it's just seeing somebody down, you know, making somebody, like, smile again, you know. See that smile come out because they haven't played catch in a couple of years. Brighten somebody's day. It sounds pretty simple, and it is. He's done it every day since his life was changed forever, January 10th, 2018, when his dad went missing. That's been 594 days, Jason said. His father's car was found on a bridge over the Missouri River with a note in it. And now when Jason plays catch with someone, he posts a picture of it on Instagram, along with a word of the day and the number of the suicide hotline. How about that? Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what he does, which, by the way, is 1-800-273. I forgot the number. The suicide hotline is 1-800-273-8355. Wow. For Jason, it's a way for him to heal his heart while helping others. That's pretty cool. And just stand out there. It's just something you can do to, you just like, well, you know, changes a person. He said, if I can change one person's attitude every day, that's awesome. Because it kind of trickles down at the end of the day. Life is good. It truly is.
It's Cup of Joe Morning Show.
With Joe Hunter.
I'm just getting warmed up.
The Sound of Life.
Maybe you love Sweden, too. I know, I follow Jim Gaffigan around a lot, on social media and things like that. I know he took his kids on vacation. He takes them everywhere he goes a lot of times. I mean, you know, they go on vacation. He's got five kids, and his daughter's, like, in her teens, I'm sure of that. And then he's got the toddler running around and stuff. And he's done a 60-minute thing a few years ago where they did a piece on him, and he's in his apartment in Manhattan. And he says, you know, he said, so I've got a two-bedroom apartment, so I thought it through. Wow. And he jokes about it, but he says, you know, I'm not trying to make a statement or anything. I mean, this is just life. His wife is his producer, really. Writes a lot of his jokes, oddly enough. She said, he said basically she is the producer of our family. And she found out through a set of circumstances and doctor's visits and an MRI that she had a pear-sized tumor right at the base of her brain, actually, right at the top of right in her neck. And the doctor was kind of amazed that she was functioning as well as she would. He said, you need to have surgery, like, now. And so they had surgery in New York City, and it was quite a recuperation from that. And he talks about that. He actually joked about the doctor sizing up his mental capacity, obviously, when he said the size of the tumor is a pear shape. You know, he used a fruit thinking I would, and somehow thinking that I would know what a fruit was, you know. But he jokes about things like that. And you kind of have to get used to that. But he has become very endearing to his wife. They were on CBS Sunday Morning with a little spiel about that. And she has written a book called When Life Gives You Pears, Jeanne Gaffigan. And she is really a trooper. And he knows it. I mean, you know, he's at a point where he said, oh, man, am I thankful. Boy, if something had happened to you, all those kids would be up for adoption. You know. But she said, I really appreciate every day now. I appreciate every day. Isn't that the truth? You do that. But he's still making jokes. And I guess on their trip this summer, they went to Europe. And he was talking about Sweden. He said, I love you, Sweden. You know.
In Stockholm, I brought my kids to a ship museum, the Vasa Museum. It was a ship museum, but it only had one ship. So it felt more like a ship garage. But that one ship, the Vasa ship, sunk on its maiden voyage in Stockholm's harbor in the 1700s, which is not good. But that's the largest attraction in Sweden. Most countries, their big attraction is a design marvel, like the Sydney Opera House or the Eiffel Tower. But Sweden was like, here's our boat that didn't float. This is why we make furniture.
Exactly.
Ironically close.
Good observation.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Love your radio station. I listen to it every morning. It wakes me up. It inspires me. It gets me going.
The Sound of Life.
Now, Scott Pressler is the guy that headed all this up. He gathered 200 volunteers. I want to know how you do that, first of all. Scott, that's a monumental thing. I wonder if they knew that they were going to be cleaning up trash in a homeless camp. It took them 9 hours, all right? That's a lot of work. But they cleaned up. I didn't know there was this much trash out there in one city. 50 tons. That's 50 times 2,000 pounds. 50 tons of trash in a homeless camp. Scott Pressler did that, and he got no. He called his effort an act of love for the people of Los Angeles. This guy is a kid almost. He has called out other people for neglecting the people they claim to serve. I mean, you got to wonder about that, okay? And their homeless crisis in Los Angeles is pretty bad. It's just got all kinds of nasty garbage. I don't even want to talk about it. There's even medieval diseases cropping up as a result of this homeless problem in Los Angeles. But Pressler is working to try to solve that. He has 200 volunteers. They picked up 19 tons of trash in Baltimore recently. They cleaned up Newark, Virginia Beach. Wow. I didn't know Virginia Beach. You know, we need more people like Scott Pressler. Thank God we have Scott Pressler working to get people together. Sometimes it's just, you know, get down where the dirty is and go and clean it up. And it's a great picture of God working in your life, cleaning that up. Yes, God loves you. That's showing true love right there. That's showing love. Not a pat on the back. You're fine. You're okay. You know, no, we're not. No, we need that garbage cleaned up. And let God do that. Just let him do it in your life. It's pretty cool. Thank you, Scott.
The Sound of Life.
Matt Schifrin always loved playing with Legos. I had a son just exactly like that. And there's something about that. A lot of kids really like it. Parents, not so much. Because we find them, the little lone one, in the middle of the night. The scream is unbearable. hear somebody scream in the middle of the night as they were sneaking into the kitchen, and you know why, they got caught. So Matt loved playing with Legos, but here's the thing. Matt was born blind, so he couldn't read the instructions. So, you know, he always needed family and friends to help him, of course. They'd, you know, read the instructions and help him build and stuff like that. Well, his friend, Lilia, I think, decided to translate a set of instructions into Braille. I don't even know how you do that. It's amazing. It gave him a binder to him on his 13th birthday, and he was thrilled to have instructions that he could engage with, to say the least. Shortly after, he and Lilia partnered with Lego Group to translate more than 20 Lego set instructions into Braille. They were probably thinking, man, we should have done that before. We have people, you know, you don't think about that. Just because somebody can't see it doesn't mean that they don't like to use what you've got. It's just amazing. They launched a website for the project called Lego for the Blind. What a great thing. And that's where you can download them, the set of instructions in Braille. It's really pretty cool. They even teamed up with Lego to make customized instructions for the blind and visually impaired for all sets of Legos. And he said, you know, if she hadn't bought me that binder, none of this would have happened. My goal has always been to make as many Lego sets as I can. And now it's just one of those little things that's going along that's a really good story.
Hey, this is Crowder, and you're listening to Cup of Joe Morning Show. It's my favorite. It's how you start your day, and you know, day is going to get better and better.
So I've heard of speeders back over the summer in some communities around our fair land. We're getting an opportunity. Instead of paying a fine, you just bought school supplies, which I thought was really cool. Well, in Estonia, which is not near South Carolina, as some think, it's a country in the Europe, they have an idea to soften the blow, and they're swapping fines for, believe it or not, a timeout. You don't have to go anywhere and sit in a corner or anything. You basically take your time out right there on the road. That's what you do. But it's interesting. It's a pilot program, and they're testing a new measure along this one highway, I guess, which is probably known for speeding, kind of like the throughway in certain areas, you know. And Estonia is a small Baltic country, in case anybody asks you. What is that? You can tell them. You have to be a first-time offender, and you're offered a choice of a timeout or a fine. And there's two tiers, of course, just like here. Kind of. I mean, if you're caught speeding up to 20 kilometers or whatever their unit of measurement is over the speed limit, then you get to take, what is it, 45 minutes. You have to take time out for 45 minutes. That's quite a fine. A lot of people just pay the fine. If you're over, like here, if you're over, boy, you've got to pay the fine. I mean, you know, maybe you lose your license for a while. But what they do is they make you're subject to a 60-minute wait. So they're not as severe if you're over 20 miles over the speed limit, or 20 kilometers or IMs or whatever it is. And I was reminded one time, I mean, here, and they don't, I haven't seen this in years, but I know that back in the 1980s on the New York State Thruway, which I was traveling every day in the Hudson Valley from, I mean, around Albany all the way southward into Rockland County at some point, you know, every day. But south of Albany, the New York State Troopers, bless their little hearts, would have a roadblock, kind of. You know, they would have somebody in the woods hiding out at an appropriate point, and you came zipping by there, and they'd clock you. And then you go around the corner, and then you saw a handful of troopers and cars and stuff, and they would just signal for you to be pulled over. I've never gotten caught in one for speeding. But that's another story. And I would see this usually as I was traveling north, and they were doing this traveling south. They used to do that quite regularly. And I mean, they had 15 cars pulled over. So it was like, oh, you were doing a timeout, all right, and you were going to pay a little extra in taxes.
Yeah, you were punning. You're punning, all right. You're screaming.
The Sound of Life.
So what happened was kind of an act of God. But it really bumped up all the wedding photograph expectations from the brides. You know, they want everything to be perfect, the looks and everything. That was no exception for a couple from Arizona as they traveled. Brittany and Sean traveled to Washington's Mount Spokane, you know, thinking, oh, we've got the fall foliage. It'll be lush. The air will be crisp, autumn air. Oh, it was crisp, all right. They had a blizzard. But the photographer made the best of that. And if you've seen the photograph from it, ooh, it's mighty good. They might have been freezing, but they didn't show it. They had, the photographer said the winds were at least 30 miles an hour. The blizzard was so intense, we only got about 10 minutes worth of photos, but it was worth it. I mean, stunning images of the couple at their wedding party with the background of falling snow. So it was pretty cool. But the whole thing is, it's like, you know, just go to the beach.
Hey, this is Danny Gokey, and you're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Well, the story revolves around a 9-year-old who was doing something that, you know, it was kind of cool. When you're 9, you're running in one of those K races. It's pretty neat there. He was running a 5K. That's just a little over 3 miles. That's about all I can do. Okay. And I'm one of those people that, at least the last time I did it, I was following a mom and her daughter and a couple of her daughter's friends, and they would run and then they would walk and then they would run. It was really kind of cool. And I enjoyed it very much. I told them so at the end. I just was like praying the whole time, Lord, please don't think I'm, you know, stalking them or anything like that. And it motivated me. And so I don't know how in the world you could be out on a course like by yourself. I mean, there was always somebody around. Anyway, this 9-year-old Cade is his name, running the 5K. He took a wrong turn and he ended up with the crowd that was running the 10K. And he just ran it. I mean, that's over 6 miles right there. So that's a little over more than he originally set out to run. He beat a field of competitors that were the next youngest person was in their 20s. He's 9 years old, remember. He said, well, it was too late by the time I realized what I had done. And I just followed the wrong route. I just kept following him. His time was just over 48 minutes. Wow. Boy takes wrong turn on 5K, ends up winning the 10K.
I like the sound of that.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Who told you I was clever?
Oh, all your friends at the studio told me.
Oh, drat.
The Sound of Life.
So this 25-year-old decided that she was going to skip flying for her last holidays to Italy and Croatia and opted to get around by train and ferry instead. All right. So you're not walking. You're not opting to walk. But she felt really good about it. She said, I felt like I was really traveling and I felt at peace with myself having done something for the planet. Ooh, it's called flight shaming, where people feel like, oh, I don't feel like I should be flying because it leaves such a big carbon footprint, you know. So I want to do something for the earth. So I'm still taking that vacation to Italy, but I'm going to go by boat and train and, you know, all that kind of thing. And it kind of, I mean, it's a trend that's happening about the flight shaming thing. And they've been doing surveys of people and things like that. 1 in 5 travelers in the United States, France, Britain, and Germany had cut air travel by at least one flight in the past year because of climate concerns. Very interesting. And you feel good about it because you do something. I mean, I feel good when you go on a missions trip. You do, kind of. Maybe a little bit too good. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you have to be careful about that. You're doing things, but then you're kind of like, why do you feel good about it? I think God kind of hardwired everybody so that to a certain degree, when you help someone else and when you give to someone else, there's a certain feeling inside. Kind of like when you exercise. You know, we know for a fact that there's certain chemical things that happen in your body, and that's why you feel so good. But you can actually get addicted to exercise, just like anything else. You can get addicted to going to church and things. It's just kind of one of those funny things, and I think we're kind of like, you're always kind of like skirting the line about why you do something. But I think if you realize that at one point God created a man and a woman and he had personal fellowship with them, and then they disobeyed and they were very distraught, of course, and realized I'm done. We're done. But God intervened and he sacrificed an animal so that they could be covered. And that was a prelude to what he's doing. He will sacrifice his creation to provide for you, my child. And all you have to do is believe it. See, that's the thing. But I think, but it's all about the perspective. So you can't be quick to jump on someone to, you know, and you can always look at someone else about that kind of thing. Well, I'm taking a trip to the Dominican on a missionary trip. I'm not taking the boat. You know, by the time you get there, I'll be turned around, and come back. So which one's the best thing to do? So, you know, but I wouldn't just absolutely just go after someone like that. But it is, I just think it's interesting because you have people that are doing things like I hate to throw a perfectly good glass jar away. You know, I clean it up and everything and I think, wow, you know, it can be used again. It can be recycled, get it into the right hands. And I trust that it is getting to the right hands. You know, like I'm hoping that, it is not just thrown away or whatever, but I'm doing the best I can. Just like when you help someone else, you're hoping that they use it well, right? But you can only go so far. It's just an interesting thing I thought about because I hadn't really heard about that whole flight shaming thing, and it's kind of one of the things that are going on, you know? And we do tend to worship the creation instead of the creator. And it's one of those things we'll always kind of go against. So that's my piece. I get down off my soapbox now.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
I got to introduce special guest Denise right here on Cup of Joe Morning Show. Or I should say, intern Denise. Come on.
Yes, good morning.
You've been to broadcasting school.
Yes, the New School Center for Media in Albany.
Wow. Wait, now how did you get in that? Did you just see it or know about it somehow and you want to go there?
Actually, I was talking with my brother and we were exploring things that I like to do.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm really into media, television, and radio. And he's like, oh, I found a school in Albany. You should check it out. So that's how it started.
Your brother?
Yeah, wow. My brother.
Now, that's interesting. Did you live with your brother? And I'm saying that because you have lived in foster homes.
Yes.
That's why.
I grew up since I was 8.
Okay. That's one reason. That's one thing we're going to talk about. And we kind of have a heart for that. Wayne, producer Wayne, is a foster family person.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. So he, you know, I know some about that and stuff. And we're big on Justice for Orphans, which handles fostering and stuff.
Yes.
And all that kind of stuff like that. So that's the reason you're here. But you impressed me when I met you a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the reason I just want to get you on and talk a little bit about that.
I guess. Well, I'm ready.
Now, I did hear one of your air checks from your hip-hop station.
Yeah.
Wow, that is something else, man. I'll tell you. Pretty amazing. So probably just a little bit different for you.
So, just a little bit.
All right. Well, we'll talk about something entertaining.
Hey, this is Drew from We Are Messengers, and thank you for listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Demonstrating on Cup of Joe Morning Show, one of the things that Denise learned not to do at her broadcasting school in Albany, and that was probably to have, you know, like nothing going on. We don't want to talk about that a whole lot, but it's probably one of the things they told you, because in your air checks there, you really have a lot going on. You're a very high energy type of person. You are, aren't you?
Yep.
Do you like that?
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that what you want? Do you want to be in something like that? Or?
I do.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. I do.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you asking us. You can spend a little time with us, and hopefully you'll learn something.
Yeah, maybe I'll calm down.
Now, one thing I wanted to talk to you about was a little bit, because we touched on it a little bit before, since you were 8 years old, you've been in foster care.
Yep, since I was 8.
Wow. Man. Mm-hmm. How would you describe that? I mean,
of course, obviously, it was hurtful because I wanted to be with my biological mother.
Right.
So that caused me to act out a lot. And
did you really?
Yeah. Wow. And I was bounced at a young age. I was bounced from home to home. I've been in a lot of homes.
Wow.
So, you know, you got to get used to one family, then get used to how another family do things and stuff. So I felt alone a lot of times, like nobody cared about me,
right.
Abandoned. Mm-hmm. It was hard.
Wow. So now mm-hmm. you're out of that system? You're on your own now?
Yes. Now I'm out of the system. I still keep in, but the family that I stayed with the most, the Wilsons, they taught me a lot. I think they're the reason why I have God in my life now.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, I was actually talking to my foster mother the other day, and she said one thing we didn't do, which we should have did, was, and we had to repent and pray to God to forgive us, that we didn't take spiritual authority over you guys. Even though you were in our homes and we loved you, we should have taken spiritual authority. So she was like, now we take spiritual authority.
Wow. What do you have any ideas about this whole, about the whole kind of system, you know, of a way to maybe it could be improved, or is it just one of those things? It's a bad situation to begin with, right? I mean, it's not a good situation, so I guess they're trying, right?
Yeah, they're trying. I just think that, you know, foster parents should be, because I experienced parents that it was obvious they just wanted the money, and they would manipulate, they would use the fact that you come from, you know, a bad background right. against you. So I think parents should be more patient with the kids, listen to them, understand that they dealt with a lot of trauma, like myself. And just be careful who you allow to be a foster parent. Not everybody has good motives.
Right, right. Well, that's good. Are you going to write a book about it?
I would love to write a book about it.
Really?
Yes.
No kidding. What would you title it? Or you haven't thought about that?
I haven't thought about it, but let me think.
Denise on the spot since we started talking, but I'm sorry. But I just, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
My childhood.
My childhood.
Or the ups and downs of, but there were up things, right? I mean,
yeah,
like the last family.
Like, yep, so my last family. I traveled with them to Africa, England.
Really?
They were from Montserrat, so I went to Montserrat. So,
where's that?
It's in the Caribbean.
You said Montserrat just like I would know where that was.
Have you heard of Antigua?
Yeah.
It's right next to Antigua. You take a ferry from Antigua to Montserrat.
Wow.
Yep.
There's so many cool things there.
Mm-hmm.
And the weather's good.
Beautiful.
Like
beaches.
It's
just nice. Yeah.
And I'm surprised you were like, oh, I could be a missionary there.
That would be nice.
You know what's interesting, though? Like last year went to, and I was going to go back. I don't know if that's going to happen in January or not, to Dominican Republic. And that's a place that a lot of people go for vacation. And you see those resorts, and they depend on that for a lot of money. And they use the beautiful beaches, and the resorts are right there. I imagine a lot of those islands are like that. And then the real life is going on where you don't normally see it.
Exactly.
Ah. Yeah,
yep, so that's how it was.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, we'll have to talk some more.
The Sound of Life.
I don't know which direction you want to go in. You went to a broadcasting school that talks about different types of broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that, you know, the devil side, which is TV.
The devil side.
You know why I'm saying that. But I really think God created radio. I mean, I'm biased. I know that. But, you know, the cool thing about radio is the visual part is in your mind. It's all in your mind, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because been from listening, and you see certain things, your mind creates what you hear in your mind, a visual in
your
mind.
That's what my instructor would tell me.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you find that's true?
It is true.
And then you come and see the reality and go,
oh, this is it.
That's exactly right. What? See? And that's the whole thing that's kind of funny, because I've often thought about that. We have a fall fundraiser coming up the 22nd of October. But I thought most radio stations try to create. I mean, in the really golden days of radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying you can't bring them back, Denise.
Okay.
But those little radio, those little tower shacks out there in the middle of the cornfield that used to be a palace of a station on the air.
How you started.
Kind of. But I mean, they would create all this stuff that was in the studio that they had. Was great stuff, you know. But they really didn't have it. It was just in your mind. You know? But I thought, well, we can't do that because people are like, well, I don't want to give my money to something, you know, like that. So then we try to create this image. But we've done a pretty good job of creating an image of being in a couple of double trailers put together in the middle of a field, in the middle of nowhere, haven't we?
Excellent job.
We did okay on that one.
Yeah.
What did you think when you drove up the driveway the first time?
I thought, I must be lost.
I think that's what everybody has.
This isn't it.
They have that look, except for the UPS driver. They have that look like, am I in the right place there? We're in an interesting neighborhood. There's no doubt about that. But that's the cool thing about radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I like it. I've seen some amazing things in radio. And maybe if you stick around long enough, I'll tell some of them to you.
Dad.
I doubt I'd ever tell them on the air just because they're kind of inside. Oh, I shouldn't be doing that. See, that's what you don't do. I'm teaching you how not to do radio.
Okay.
Is that okay?
That's okay.
Okay. Well, we're talking a little bit about, we're going to run out of time if we're not careful, but we're talking seriously about being in foster care, and you mm-hmm. did since you were eight.
Since I was
so
eight.
That was a bad situation, and an eight-year-old, you want to be with your mom.
Yeah.
But you didn't understand why you couldn't be with your mom?
I didn't understand at the time, no.
Interesting. Wow. But, mm-hmm. gloriously, when you were 15, what yes. happened?
When I was 15, I got saved. I was in a foster home,
right.
And I went after school. I went with a friend. Matter of fact, I just met the girl, but I went with her to go smoke. She asked me if I smoked weed before, and I lied, and I said yes. I never smoked a day in my life.
You just wanted to be friends with her.
I just wanted to be friends, fit in. So I went with her and her brother to his apartment, and we were smoking. I was inhaling it, like smoking a lot, like it's a cigarette. I didn't know anything about smoking. And on the way home, I started bugging out in the car, just going crazy, like the Matrix, my body. I was seeing triple of myself, couldn't breathe. And then I'm like, let me out the car, please. So they stopped the car, and I'm like,
they let you out.
Yeah, they let me out. Like, no, I didn't mean
that. Oh, man.
And so I'm like, somebody, please take me to the hospital. He was more concerned with who are you going to tell.
Right.
And I'm just like, nobody, I'm in foster care. Nobody cares. Please give me some help. Wow. So long story short, they just left me. So now I'm on the side of the road, and I'm just praying out of nowhere. I just start calling on the name of Jesus. I'm like,
really?
Jesus, 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 please, Jesus, help me. And then I start repenting.
Really?
And so, yeah, I'm like, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. And then I'm saying, I don't want to be like my mother, like my father, because they were both drug addicts.
Wow.
And so I walk into a store, and I just fall to the ground, and I'm like, somebody, please help me, and I'm just calling on the name of Jesus, and then out of nowhere, I feel a hand on my shoulder saying, just start praying for me, and speaking in tongues, saying, this is going to be your testimony, you're going to be okay, and I look up, there's a cross on the door. I walked into a Christian-owned jewelry store, and
wow.
So, yeah, the lady, she called the ambulance. When I went to the hospital, I felt a healing shoot through my body. I was just praying to God. And I believe from then on, I got the revelation of what it meant, him dying and raising again. And I was just so on fire for the Lord because I believe he saved me. Yeah.
How about that? And here's Denise sitting right here today.
Yep.
And I don't have anything to say to that.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.